Christmas Realized is the final in the series of Advent that we start at the beginning of December. And I wanted to talk about who Jesus is biblically, what the Bible reveals of who he is and what he is. This question had to be answered by the early church because it was challenged immediately that you guys believe in three gods, and what do you mean you worship this man, and how can you worship him when there's only one true God, and you guys are worshiping three because you're worshiping the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son. And the early theologians and the disciples of the apostles had to answer the question, who was Jesus? What was he? The apostles infer it. It's inferred in Scripture as to his identity. And it is important to grasp this well, because it has been moved away from, even in many churches, as if it doesn't matter. And I'm here to tell you and try to teach to you that the Bible reveals his person in a way that is a deliverance for you if you let it. It's a deliverance. It helps you, and it will give you a proper understanding and have the right clarity in your mind so that you'll come to the proper conclusions about life and about what Jesus really is all about. I don't think that Jesus is about a church or a religion. I've never liked religion, and I don't think anybody really does. Religion brings a lot of misery into the world if you think of many of the major conflicts that the world is enduring at this point. It has to do with religions or interpretations of religions. Christ didn't come to start a religion. There was plenty of those already. He came to give truth to us. He came to open our eyes spiritually and even physically, open our eyes to see the truth of what life is all about. Now, in the mix of life and all of its travail is all of this noise and all of this interpretation by so many different preachers and teachers that it's confusing to the average person. And so knowing that, and since I spent some time this past week in the Colorado area talking to some of the millennial age people, I found a tremendous disconnect, because the truths that I was exposed to as a young person, they have not been exposed to. Their education has been completely different than from what I received. When I became a Christian, I remember thinking to myself, wow, how come this was left out of my education? Many blanks that were there that I saw filled when I became a Christian and began to read the Bible, and I said, wow. My dad even told me this. He says, I wish I would have known this when I was younger. It would have helped me from making a lot of really bad mistakes in my life. So I think the job of a church of a Bible church, which Grace Community is to give people a proper understanding of the Bible and to try to stay away from the human interpretations that confuse people. So that being said, of course, you're listening to a man and a man interpreting Scripture for you. So I realize that it's kind of a quandary. So let's ask the Lord to help us. We ask you, Lord, to open our minds and our hearts to the Scriptures, not to the words of a mortal man, unless it be you or the apostles, but to you and your words, like you did when you rose from the dead and you opened the minds of the disciples to understand the Scriptures and what they said of you. I pray you would do the same for everyone here today, so that Christmas won't just be an event, a religious event or a cultural event or just a family get-together, but that Christmas will mean something, that the birth of Emmanuel, God with us, will become real, become reality in the hearts of every person here. I ask that in Jesus' name, amen. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, in quotes, which means God with us. This is in the angelic announcements to Joseph. And this is a prophecy quoted from the prophet Isaiah, who lived 700 years before Christ was born. And it was fulfilled in his coming. Now, I'm going to try to explain to you biblically the nature of this person, Jesus, because that way you'll understand what Christmas really is all about. Now, Emmanuel was God in the world, reconciling us, humanity, through Christ. That's what Emmanuel is and was. When he came to planet Earth, what he was God reconciling the world through Christ. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writing to the Greeks south of Athens, where the great philosophers were from, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato. He writes to the Corinthians and he tells them, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us, his followers, the message of reconciliation. We are reconciled, that is to say, you've heard of when somebody's having marital difficulties or whatever, and you kind of, they go to counseling and then they get reconciliation. That means they come back together. They work it out. They're reconciled. God reconciled humans by taking sins into himself and not counting them against them. May I say, as someone who has been involved in various people's lives over the years, 22 years Casey's visiting. He visited in 1997? Man, oh man. I'm trying to go back and like, that's before 2000, so I have to reset my mind. You know, Y2K messed up my brain. But anyway, I want to try to explain to you something about Jesus Christ and the reconciliation. I've counseled with many different people, and to reconcile people is a real challenge because usually somebody is so offended by something that the other person did that they feel that they can't move past it. I can't get over this. There's no way. Okay, I forgive them, but. And I've thought to myself many times, what if God did that to us? I forgive you guys, but you can't be with me. Well, that would not be reconciliation. You couldn't go to heaven because that's where he is. If you couldn't be with him, but you were still forgiven, there's only one other place for you. Okay, so reconciliation means he brings us back into his presence, back into his home, his house, if you will. That's true reconciliation. And may I ask you all to think about this. I know that people in our lives and in this world, they hurt us and they stomp on us and sometimes they do it on purpose. But, people that understand what life really is all about, understand that you have to take some of this stuff and leave it to God at the end of time. Some of this stuff you'll never resolve here on earth. You'll never get the answer to here on earth. You have to wait for God to finally deal with it at the end of time, and he will. So, well, that's too long. It's not that long. We're almost there. Hey, I'm almost 60. I'm almost there, man. I'm on the last turn. Say, Jimmy, those of you who are older than me, you're like, yeah, right. Wait till you're 70, 80. We'll see. It's just I'm starting to see life. I was telling my nephew, the millennial, I'm seeing life in the rearview mirror. He's seeing it in the front. And so I'm seeing towards the past. It's kind of a different perspective as you get older. But anyway, this reconciliation, this verse reveals to us that Emmanuel was God. It was God. When it says God with us, what was Emmanuel? God was in Christ. Now that might make you think, okay, so there was this human being named Christ and God came into him or what? Not at all. He was God and is God. Now, well, I'll show you this as we go on, so follow along in your sermon notes. Emmanuel is God. Emmanuel, the term, the word, Emmanuel, God with us, is God fully embodied in his birth, in the birth of Christ. What you see when you look at Christ, just like with any other theological topic, when you study God, because God is an eternal being, everything about him, whether it's his love, his reconciliation, his deity, his power, his sovereignty, all of those are eternal concepts. Anything that God does is eternal. So when you look at him becoming flesh, it's an eternal concept, but it's embodied in his birth. Watch. For to us, this is Isaiah the prophet who lived 700 years before Christ came. Isaiah the prophet is one of the most quoted prophets that Jesus himself referred to when he was here on earth. This prophecy is a prophecy that almost confused, I shouldn't say almost, it did confuse the religious leaders of the Jews because there seems to be a revelation in Scripture of two coming Christs, two different people. One is a suffering servant who is crushed for our iniquities, who is He bore our, on his back the stripes, he bore our sins, and we are healed by him, all of these things. And then there's this other one that we're going to read about where he takes the government, he reigns on a throne, he brings peace to earth. So they came up with a concept, there must be two messiahs, but it was all embodied in one. It's just that it hasn't all happened yet. The first part has happened. He came as a suffering servant. He gave his life. How many kings have got off their thrones, that song said? How many have emptied themselves out for me, little podunk me, that somebody that was almighty and all-powerful give himself up for me? That's rarely done. To us a child is born. To us a son is given, us being humans, us humanity, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now, you've heard me preach this before, anyone who's been here for any time, or if you want to look up on the internet, I maintain to you that the separation of church and state that is so, it's almost holy grail in many American minds, it's actually not scriptural. There's no such thing as separation of church and state. That which is true cannot be separated from social policy, politics. It can't be. It has to be married. Now, the problem that the founding fathers of the country saw what happened in Europe was one church would gain dominance in one country, and they would squash everybody else. But the founding fathers of this country said, no, no, Congress shall make no law at all about any church. They won't say that we have a state church in America. We're not going to do that. We're going to let people worship God how they are led to in their heart to worship God. That is the uniqueness of the American interpretation of how you do politics and religion. A lot of people are afraid to talk about politics or religion when it's Christmas. I got to go home and talk to he voted for Trump. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I mean, those kinds of things. People are all paranoid about this stuff. In Christ, all of this stuff is brought together. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. That is coming. Now, since he came, many, many governments have been influenced by Christianity. Some might say for the bad. I say it's been for the good. Modern Europe, the birth of America, democracy, it all came because of what happened when Christ came. The government will be on his shoulders. Now, when he comes back again, the government will truly be on his shoulders. He will run the whole system of the world. It won't be run by, for those of you who love the conspiracy theories, it won't be the guys in the black helicopters in Brussels. It'll be Jesus Christ, okay? The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. We live in a time where people go to counseling for everything. Insurance covers counseling now. And you should go to counseling when you're struggling with something deep. There are many things in life that are very difficult to work through, and you need professional help in many cases, whether it's substance abuse or relational problems or physical abuse or many things that happen in the lives of people. It's hard to get past, and so they're stuck. And to get unstuck, you probably ought to go see a pro. Start with God. He's the pro of all pros. He's the Wonderful Counselor. If you start with God, you might not need to go to the guy that will charge you $200 an hour. So I got a joke for you. This guy goes to a psychiatrist and he tells him, you guys, any psychiatrist here, please don't. Don't get mad at me. Anyway, he tells the psychiatrist, you know, I've got a problem. I'm a grown man and I'm afraid to go to bed because I'm always imagining there's something under the bed and I can't get over it. It's got me stuck. What do I do? And the psychiatrist tells him, well, come and visit me twice a week. And, you know, after about a year or so, I think we'll be able to deal with your problem. So the guy says, okay, I'm going to go think about it. Later on, psychiatrist sees him on the street. And I don't know where I'm getting this joke from. It's from Bruce. He sends me to them on email. Anyway, he sees him on the street, and he says, hey, you never came. What happened? He goes, well, I went to the bartender. for $10, he solved my problem. And he goes, well, really, what did he do? He was kind of miffed about it. And he goes, well, you know, after I thought about it, and I realized that two visits a week for a year, that's about, you know, $25,000. He goes, and the bartender for a $10 drink told me, just cut the legs off from your bed, and there's nothing under your bed anymore. Anyway, did you guys get that one? No monster under the bed. Anyway, the Wonderful Counselor is God. The Lord Jesus Christ will counsel you if you listen to him. He'll never force himself on you. He is a Wonderful Counselor in that he knows you. He understands everything about you. He knows everything you did or will do. And it's not like Santa Claus, don't get me wrong. It's just that he created you, so he knows everything about you. Therefore, he has the solutions. Now, sometimes you need to go with a pro. Hopefully, if you're a Christian, you go to a pro who has some Christian background so that they can, together with Scripture, help you go forward. He's also called here in this passage, Mighty God. That's an amazing reference because Almighty God is a term only given to God in the Old Testament. There is one group, American group, that decided that this was a subtitle to the Son of God and that this isn't referring to God the Father. But then Isaiah the prophet says he's also called Everlasting Father. So Jesus is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. And he's called the Prince of Peace. So Emmanuel is God fully embodied in his birth. The passage continues, of the increase of his government, meaning increase as in it starts as almost nothing. He starts with 12 fishermen, okay? And from that, he influences the whole world, and eventually when he comes back, the whole world will benefit from everything about him. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That is to say, it is not produced by human will. It cannot. What we produce as human beings is never sufficient enough. Even when we get a government that we think is the right one, it never is. There's always some problem because we're humans. We fall short. We are sinful. We are imperfect. This has to come from God, and it will. It will be fulfilled when Christ comes back, completely fulfilled. Government will, the whole world will be like Eden all over again, a perfect environment, perfect political system, perfect social system, perfect justice system. It'll be amazing. It's called the millennial reign when Jesus returns again. So, well, what about now? Since he came and ascended into heaven, died and gave his life and ascended into heaven, to the time he comes back, there's this other period of time. What is this period of time that we're in? It is called the age of grace, the church age, some people would call it. Now, the church has had troubles in its history. I'm not trying to candy coat anything. Obviously, the church has made lots of mistakes, lots of errors, and it will continue to do so because it's filled with humans who are filled with error. But when the Lord finally does come back and he finally does gather all of his people together, it will be in a perfect state. Now, that is coming. Okay, now Emmanuel or Messiah's birth, what is it or what was it? It was God in flesh appearing. What happened when Jesus was born was God became human. It wasn't that a human became God. It was the other way around. God himself became human. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great, said Paul to Timothy, who was a minister in Ephesus, modern-day Turkey. He writes to them, this mystery of God, just like with anything of God, it's eternal. It's when you start studying it, you can go deeper and deeper and never see the end of it. It is a great mystery. He, God, appeared in the body, in a body. He appeared in a body. God in flesh appearing. Remember that Christmas hymn? Was vindicated by the Spirit. Was seen by angels. Was preached amongst the nations. That word nations is the word ethnic groups. As I've told you before, last week I told you, if you weren't here, I said this. Christianity is not a religion of one ethnic group. It is not a white man's religion. Yes, white men and women have taken Christianity and been blessed by it, and their institutions and their language and their arts and their culture has been enriched by it, but so have brown people, yellow people, red people, etc. It is not a religion for any one ethnic group. It is a belief that really transforms any ethnic group. Okay, so let's get away from the concept that this is white man's religion. Not true. Okay, we're all men and women, and we all need God, whatever your culture group happens to be. He was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached amongst the ethnic groups, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. Now you say, why are you saying ethnic groups and not nations? Because the Greek word nations is the word ethnos. The ethnos, the ethnic groups. All groups of people were preached to about this Messiah, this Savior, and it's God in flesh appearing. Now, Emmanuel reveals the person of God. What does he do? What is the sign of Emmanuel? It shows us who God really is. There's much confusion about God in today's world. Some say he's this. Some say he's that. Some say he's mean and he's going to come and get you all and destroy the world. And we have a whole world conflict going on about that. Some people are interpreting their religion to think that their interpretation of God is going to bring some kind of a world order and world peace. God, when you read what he is in the Bible, he is exactly opposite of what humans say he is. Instead of being judgmental, mean, I'm going to throw you in hell, you see a kind, loving, forgiving God. Instead of being this all-powerful who just wields his authority and power regardless of anybody, you see a God who is all-powerful but wields his power with great gentleness and kindness. Total opposite of what humans and human interpretations and human religions say of him. Look what it says in Hebrews. Let me give you the context. There was a group of Christian people who had become Christian when the apostles began to preach. They were all Jewish because Judaism was under threat and under oppression by the Romans at that time. There was a rebellion against Roman occupation, and they started to pressure Christian Jews. Hey, you guys got to leave this new Jesus stuff and come back to Judaism, and we got to fight the Romans. And so a lot of them were thinking, Christian Jews, we got to go back to Judaism. My family's at, my grandpa, my grandma, and now they're going to fight the Romans. I got to go back to them. And the writer of Hebrews was a Christian teacher and leader. We don't know exactly who it was. Some say it was Paul the Apostle. I don't think it was. I think it was someone else. He writes to them and he says this. The Son, it could have been a woman, by the way, because it doesn't say he or she. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Notice what he says about who he is. He's the exact representation of his being. He sustains all things by his powerful word. Now, that statement is only made in the scriptures back all the way to Genesis of God. How can it be made of a human being? Because that's who he is, God in the flesh. After he had provided purification for sins, when did he do that? When he died on the cross. He provided purification for sins. What did he say at the end of his life? It is finished. Remember that? It is finished. And then he gave up his spirit. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. What is that to say? I told you about 3-4 weeks ago, John the Apostle's vision and experience when he gave to us the book of Revelation, he said, I saw the throne and I looked, and in the center of the throne was a lamb standing, looking as if it had been slain. So what did he see? Jesus in the middle of the throne. When it says here at the right hand, that's what it means. The power of God, that Jesus became flesh and he ascended back into heaven and reseated himself on the throne in heaven. Okay, Emmanuel reveals the person of God. Emmanuel is God. When it says God is with us, it doesn't just mean that God is with us and he's like with everybody. Yes, in a general way, he is with people. But in Jesus, he is God. In John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. John the Apostle is a Jew, and he uses Genesis chapter 1 to prove the point. In the beginning was God. John the Apostle says it was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He'll explain this a little bit later on. In Romans 9, 5, theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ. Theirs meaning the Jews. The Jewish people are through whom God brought the Christ. Now, there is a lot of conflict in the world concerning the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism has been historical, and it will always be until the end. It's an amazing thing in a way that the anti-Semitism, that means to be against Jewish people, has grown, not decreased, even after the Holocaust. I was watching the hunt for some of the last Nazis worldwide that has been going on. They're in their 90s now. And this one Jewish man who's kind of investigating and trying to find individuals, he went down to Chile. And he almost found this one 90-some-year-old guy that was a real monster in one of the death camps. He was actually called Dr. Death. I forget his name. But he didn't find him. But when he got there was all of these protesters screaming and yelling, well, why don't you do something about the Palestinians, blah, 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 blah. And he was there, I'm not here for that. I'm here to look for a guy who murdered Jews and Poles and Gypsies and anyone else that wasn't liked. He murdered them and did horrible things to them physically in a death camp. That's what I'm here to do. The Palestinian thing is a separate issue. There's other patriarchs. From them is traced the human ancestry of Christ. On the anti-Semitism thing, you need to be very careful. The Bible reveals Jesus told a Samaritan woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. She had just told him when he first talked to her, I'm thirsty, give me a drink. She looks at him, she says, you're a Jew, you're a man. You're not supposed to be talking to me. I'm a Samaritan and I'm a woman. And he goes, if you knew the water that I could give you, you would ask me for a drink. You see, he came for all people. Now, salvation is of the Jews because God brought to us the Messiah, the promised one, through the Jewish people. The anti-Semitism that has grown and that is really, really evident in our world today is because of biblical history, because God chose one group of people. Do you remember that in the Fiddler on the Roof when the lead guy says, God, why don't you choose someone else for a while? You know, we're always getting beat up all the time. God chose them in order to bring to us the one who could save us. He could have chosen any group. He chose them. There was reasons of his own. Who is God? Look what it says. The human ancestry of Christ came through the Jewish people, and it says this. He is God over all, forever praised. Amen. Paul the Apostle confirms the identity of Emmanuel. He is God over all. That's who he is. Now, yes, ethnically he came through the Jewish people, but he belonged to all of us. I and the Father are one, he himself claimed in John 10:30. And if you continue to read that passage, they picked up stones to stone him. For they say, you, a mere man, are claiming to be God. Emmanuel is God's final word to us. I put this in here because there are those who run around saying that they have some new revelation and some new understanding and new interpretation of God. That's dangerous, very dangerous, because you and I have been built on a foundation that was given to us that is thousands of years old. Something new can't just come out of the blue. Nothing comes to us out of context. Even anything in technology and science and biology and astronomy and theology, nothing new comes to us out of the blue. It has to be in context. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. The prophets were individuals, men and women, whom God moved in the Old Testament, and through their lives and through their writings was given to us the Bible. He moved through them. He spoke through them at many times in various ways. It might have been a vision, it might have been a sign, it might have been a miracle. But in these last days, he, God, has spoken to us humans by his Son. So what is Emmanuel? He's God's final, if you will, definitive word to us. If you are confused about God and about Christianity, about religion, it's because you're listening to interpretations of human views of religion and God. Read the Bible. When I first did that as a person who was raised in a religion, I was like, wow, what in the world? I'm reading this and we're doing that. I'm reading this and we're doing that. What's wrong here? Why is the Bible saying this, but we're doing that? Jesus ran into that when he became human and lived amongst his own Jewish people. He told the Pharisees of his time, you have nullified the word of God by your tradition of men. And mankind loves to do that with God. By their own tradition, by their own interpretation, they twist and, if you will, almost pervert. I shouldn't say almost. They pervert the word of God to fit what they do or what they think. And that's dangerous because God doesn't give you and I the opportunity to do so. It is not up to you to reinterpret and reconfigure the word of God. It is given to us as the proper, if you will. We live in the computer age. Once the computer's corrupted, you've got problems, right? You've got to get an antivirus, got to do this, that, call the tech guy, call the geek guy. Maybe they'll fix it, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll tell you time for a new one, right? We have to have the right information. The right information comes to us through this word of God. Watch. Emmanuel is the creator. Who is God? What is this concept of God that we all talk about? Not just a concept. God is a being. And God is a being who made everything. The Bible has always said this, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. In the book of Revelation, it says that the angels acknowledge this of him. You created all things, and by your great power, you're going to reign now. You're going to take your great power, and you're going to take over. He made it all. Now, we live in an age which has come up with a counter story to the story of the Bible. that it didn't come from a creator being, that it always existed by itself, and we're just in a multiverse, and that we're in another kind of expression of what was creation, and we're going to continue to do this forever and ever. That's Hinduism. That's pantheism, that the universe is God and God is the universe. That is not true. The Bible reveals that God is separate from the universe. He was with God in the beginning. What beginning? Any beginning you want to go to. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. That's speaking of God, but here John the Apostle is speaking of Christ. Hebrews, whom he, God, appointed heir of all things, that's Jesus, and through whom he, God, made the universe. The universe, the uni is one, verse is spoken line, one spoken line, God made the whole world. In 6 days he did it too. He said, 6 days is billions of years old. You're talking about a being who doesn't have to worry about years. When he makes something, it has the appearance of age. When he made Adam, was he a little baby, infant boy, and grew him up into a full-grown man? No, not at all. He was a full-grown man when he created him. God can create anything with appearance of age. So we misinterpret things when we look at it and say, oh, it's billions of years old, because you don't understand that God is not confined by time. So a star can be out there 500 million light years away from us because God put it there in 1 second or half a second. Emmanuel brings us into God's family. What is Emmanuel all about? Is it for us to argue about over Christmas dinner with our Christian family or a non-Christian family? Actually, his whole reason to come was to bring us in reconciliation. He reconciled us to himself and to each other, if we would let him. To all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he, God, gave the right to become children of God. What is Jesus coming all about? It's so that you can be in his family. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human descent, nor a husband's will, but born of God. How did you get into this world? Well, a man and a woman came together and produced a child, and that's why you're here. And God is wanting you to come into his family, but that's a spiritual birth. That's why Jesus taught Nicodemus, you must be born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, he goes. You need to be born of the Spirit. You know, obviously we're all here. We were all born once, but you need to be born again. You've heard you've seen the bumper sticker, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. If you're born again, you'll only die once physically, but you'll never die spiritually because you'll live forever. Emmanuel brings us into God's family. That's what he's here for. He's not here to make you argue with God or make you fight with God or with your Christian family. He's here to let you come into the family of God. Jesus in the manger is the sign of Emmanuel to humans. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. What happened when Jesus became a baby? The Word, God, became human. He dwelt amongst us. That word is the word tabernacled. He tabernacled. He pitched his tent. Those young people, you like to say, I'm just kicking it. He came and he kicked it with us, all right? He became one of us. Yeah, I mean, he went to weddings, he went to funerals, he went to bar mitzvah. He came and he became human, and he did everything that humans do. He learned to talk, he learned to walk, he saw politics, he saw war, he saw death, he saw famine, he saw sadness. He saw everything that you and I saw, and he experienced it too. He came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's a neat thing about him that is very different from, let's say, Moses. Moses came and brought to us the law. If you want law, go to Moses. You'll find yourself up against the wall, stone you. With Jesus, you find grace. What's grace? You deserve punishment, but he doesn't give it to you because he took it to himself. And truth. Why do we need truth? Because there's so much non-truth out there. There's so much deception out there. There's so much false information out there. Ask any computer guy. Marcos, I'm always pointing to him because he's a computer geeky guy. When a computer doesn't have the right information, it makes all kinds of errors. Errors, that's why you get these weird messages. Error, error, error. Okay? You need to have right information. What's the right information? It's the Bible. Say, yeah, but the Bible, there's all this stuff that people have done with it. True. But don't blame the Bible for what people have done. Blame them. The Bible is true. And if you read it for its truth, it will reveal truth to you. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, John the Baptist, okay? This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. If you read the Christmas story, and tonight we read it, that's what we do on Christmas Eve service. We take all of the Gospels and all of the Old Testament prophecies, and we read the story. So I'm preaching to you about who he is right now. But tonight you'll actually hear the story. John the Baptist was a prophet who was born conceived six months before Jesus was. Before the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he had already appeared to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, and told him, your wife's going to have a baby. And he said, no way, I'm an old guy. I can't, we're not in 2017. What's that blue pill? There's no Viagra. Anyway, and so the angel told him, because you are doubting me, you're not going to be able to talk for a whole, until he's born. So John the Baptist gets born, right? And he's older than Jesus physically. But John the Baptist says here, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me. He was before me. John the Baptist knew, true prophets and teachers of the word of God know, that this Jesus was the eternal God before he became human. And he became human. He is the sign of Emmanuel to us. To know Emmanuel is actually to know God. The confusion goes away. All of the smoke and the mirrors of man-made religion and man-made superstition and tradition, even in your own mind, we all have these weird thoughts and superstitions about God and afterlife and religion. Get rid of it all. Just listen to the truth from him. From the fullness of his grace, we humans have received one blessing after another. So, well, I don't know about that. Christianity hasn't been that good for Earth, has it? Oh, yes, it has. It's just that you're being told that it hasn't been. You're being lied to. Christianity brought modern Europe, brought the modern democratic states to us, brought the free, pluralistic societies that we live in. It was because of Christianity. It wasn't because of man-made religion. Man-made religions always persecute everybody else. The law was given through Moses. What was the law? The Mosaic law was the perfect religious law of God given to a man and a group of people, but they couldn't live up to it. We don't need a religious law. We need grace. We need truth. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known. When you know Emmanuel, you know God. You get to know God. And when you get to know God, it's like this for me, okay? I've been a Christian and a Christian preacher for many, many years now. I've been a Christian since I was 19. I'm almost 60 now. For me, it's like this. Wow, 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 wow. For me, the wow just keep on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I know that I'm moving towards a final wow when I'm there with him. For me, that's what it is, getting to know this God. And he is nothing like what humans, and I've been around some really amazing teachers, some well-known preachers and teachers, but they pale in comparison to him. To him, there is no one like him. No one like the Lord Jesus, like God. No one. Let's stand and read this together. Merry Christmas to you. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Isn't that cool? That's what Christmas is. Christmas, what is it to you? Oh no, got to get together with my family. Oh no. It can be truly joyful if you let the one who is Christmas come into your life. How do you let him come into your life? Well, like with any present, some of you are going to get presents, some of you are going to get lumps of coal. But anyway, when you get a present, you get it, and what do you first do? Oh, pretty paper. You unwrap it, and you open it, and you enjoy it. You have to receive him. That's why it says, as many as receive him, he gave to them the right to become children of God. Oh, yeah, but I did that once, way back when Billy Graham was young. I did that once. You have to receive him. And may I say, opening the gift of Christ is eternal. You never stop opening it. If you want to receive him into your heart, I will pray, and it's not going to solve all of your problems instantaneously, but it begins a process that solves them. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be Emmanuel in me. Reconcile me to you. Thank you for not counting my sins against you. Thank you for being in Christ and reconciling my soul to you. Let me become one of your children. Let me have the right to become a child of God. Let Jesus be my Savior. Amen.